Let's now turn to read God's word, and our reading this morning is in the Old Testament and in the book of Jonah. The Old Testament prophet of Jonah and chapter 1. Let us read and hear God's word. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry or preach against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come, and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and it was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Amen. And we look to the Lord to give to us his blessing in our reading and understanding and further meditation upon that portion of his own word. And again, just to tie it in, when you go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 12, you find this very example and this very chapter being quoted by the Lord himself when he says that Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the great fish, which gives us and assures us of the inspiration of this book and portion of Old Testament scripture. Again, let us therefore praise our God by singing, this time from the words of Psalm 139. And particularly the experience that it's relating, we can hold on to it in our minds in the light of what we've just read of Jonah's experience itself. Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast me searched and known. Thou knowest my sitting down and rising up, yea, all my thoughts afar to thee are known. My footsteps and my lying down are compassed as always. Thou also most entirely art acquaint with all my ways. For in my tongue before I speak, not any word can be, but altogether, lo, O Lord, it is well known to thee. Behind, before, thou hast beset and laid on me thine hand. Such knowledge is too strange for me, too high to understand. From thy spirit whither shall I go? Or from thy presence fly? Ascend I heaven, lo, thou art there, there if in hell I lie. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 8, the first five stanzas. O Lord, thou hast me searched and known. If you take with you the very last sentiments of that psalm we were singing, Psalm 139 and verses 7 and 8, the psalmist is putting before us questions as to how he can get away and run from the Lord. And I want you to hold on to that experience and question as we turn now to our reading this morning and to the book of Jonah and the first chapter. Jonah chapter 1, and we may read verses, the first three verses of this chapter. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry or preach against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And verse 17, just as we close, now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. There are certain names we have in the scriptures that as soon as you mention them, you always associate something else with it or them. Moses and the burning bush. Samson and Delilah. Maybe not so much well known, but Gideon and his fleece. So whenever you mention the name Jonah, we always think Jonah and the whale. And as soon as you mention it, people just look at you. It might raise a little bit of a smile. Peter might go even so far as laughing at you just for believing this kind of teaching. That's the reaction that many people have. But it's a total distraction and it's a total sidelining of the very important issues contained in this man's experience. Because instead of laughing and smiling, we should be attending and listening very carefully and thinking through what we're given here. We don't know if it was a fish, if it was a whale or not. All we're told is that it was a great fish of sufficient capacity to accommodate Jonah. And that's all that we can say. And whenever you start thinking about was it or not a fish that size, was it something we know today, that's a distraction. Because the focus, especially of these first three verses, is that God is speaking to Jonah. And he's speaking also to us. And we've got to ask ourselves as we think of Jonah, well, how did he respond to what God was saying, and how do we respond to what God is telling us? God is making known his will to Jonah. The same way God is making his will known to you and me today. He's telling us what he required from him and what he requires of us. How then do we respond to what he's saying? I'm sure that in every one of our experiences, we can all go back in our mind and memory to a time when we felt something of an impression of spiritual truth on our soul. There was a time when we perhaps felt that God was speaking and singling us out very clearly for something we had to hear. We were very aware that God was giving a plain direction of the path that we should walk and what he required from us. And God does that still to us. He meets with us in that same way. And it is our prayer that God would meet with us here this morning and speak with us again with the power and breath of heaven upon his word. And as he does so, and as we are aware of him doing that, we have to be very careful how we respond to that great privileged opportunity. So what I want to do this morning is just simply go through these few verses and take out of them five or six simple thoughts that would help us to structure not only Jonah's experience, but also to sharpen that challenge for ourselves. And the very first thing I want us to think about is simply this. We have here a revelation from God. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. That phrase and this experience is repeated many times, especially in the book of the prophets. In fact, it occurs over 100 times. And it's quite unmistakable. There is no doubt whatsoever over what is happening here. God is speaking to Jonah, to others, to ourselves, and he is bringing fresh and clear light on our society, our people, even upon ourselves. God is telling us and bringing us to see things from his perspective. A revelation from God. He is telling us things we need to know about ourselves. And we shouldn't be distracted by asking, how did it happen? What was the means and the mechanism for it coming, this message to Jonah? The important thing is that it did happen. And God is speaking the same way to ourselves. He is not distant from us, nor is he silent with us. He speaks to us in a whole variety of different ways. The Lord can speak to you and to me. He can break into the life we live day after day, Monday to Saturday, the things that we do, and something goes wrong and goes bent and doesn't work out the way we want it to. And God can be working through that providence, calling us to attend to something he sets before us. In our conscience, there are things that are right and wrong that we know about. And sometimes we stray across that line in our living and we do things that are wrong, and immediately the warning bells go on and the lights start flashing. And that's God speaking to us and telling us that we're wrong and we should leave it. And if we don't, there are consequences we've got to face up to. And then, of course, God speaks to us through this book itself. He tells us about himself, and he tells us about ourselves, and he tells us about Jesus Christ, his Son. Yes, God is revealing himself and revealing ourselves also to ourselves God is speaking with us. And what was it like, I wonder? What was it like for God to speak and to meet the prophets like that? We've already mentioned at the beginning there of some times in our own lives where we've known something of heaven breaking into our thinking. Well, for these prophets, what was it like? It was very personal and it was very intense. It was a heavy weight they were carrying. There was a fire inside that burnt them up. There was a sword that was constantly prodding them and causing them pain. There was something happened to them that couldn't be stopped, couldn't be avoided. Something gripped their mind, touched their conscience, challenged their lives. And that's always the way it's going to be. That's always the way it is going to be with God meeting with people then and meeting with us still today. The book of Hebrews tells us that God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces to the dividing asunder of bone and marrow. This word is like a sword, better than anything man has ever made. It's not blunt. It leaves us in no doubt whatsoever of the consequences of the actions that we've done. It divides and cuts both ways. We're not neutral. We're not left on the fence. We're not left as onlookers on the stage of time or even in players in our own life. God's word tells us that it's this way or that way with us all. We're either going in one direction or the other. The resurrection will be to life or to death. The destination will be heaven or to hell. And there is no doubt about it. Plain, simple teaching that we need to hear. God is saying it to us. He meets with us then. And he speaks with us. And he's doing that to Jonah. And he's doing that with us. Here, today, now. So the first thing we have is the revelation by God. But the second thing I want us to think about is the refusal by the prophet. He was told to do something astonishing. He was told to go and to cry out or to preach against Nineveh. That was a Gentile city, and here he was, a Jew. The city of Nineveh was large, it was wealthy, but it was pagan. Not only that, but he had to go and do it himself. He couldn't delegate it to someone else to go and do it and avoid that conflict and problem for himself. He wasn't going to any city of Israel, people of Israel. He was going to the capital city of the enemy of his nation. And he just simply balked at that prospect. He couldn't hack it. He couldn't cope with it. So he refused. There are times when we try to limit, we try to contain what God has set before us and what he's telling us. We try to box God in to working only in ways that we will allow or understand. God, you can do it this way and you can do it here and now, but not that way. And we so often try that with God. But God breaks through. And God in his grace does surprising things to us. And he tells us amazing things often. He doesn't owe us anything by way of an explanation. He doesn't owe us an explanation for what he's saying or what he's doing. His ways are past finding out, the Bible tells us. And all he requires from us is obedience and commitment. But when God speaks to us as he spoke to Jonah, we're left uncomfortable. We are left uncomfortable. You know, when you go back to the sermon of the different types of ground, the sower and the seed we call it, but it's the types of ground that has been referred to. And when you go to that parable, one of the things that strikes us is that these are people who do not understand. People don't understand what is happening to them. They find it difficult to understand God's word. That's what we've been hinting at already in ourselves. But that wasn't the problem with Jonah. Jonah didn't have any problem understanding what God wanted him to do. In fact, he understood all too well what God wanted him to do. He knew exactly what God was saying. Clear and simple, arise and go. Plain teaching of what his purpose was. This is the destination, that great city. And what was his duty when he got there? It was to preach against it. No problem trying to understand that. The problem, in fact, was that he understood all too well what God was saying. He knew exactly what God was requiring from him. And there was a conflict. There was a conflict in his mind and in his soul between what Jonah wanted and what God was saying. Jonah had his own ideas how best to serve God. And it didn't include going to Nineveh. He didn't want to spare Nineveh. And there was a fight going on in his heart, in his mind, in his soul. Just the same way as there's a fight going on in our own mind and in our own soul at this time also. The word of God has spoken to us and we know it from past experiences. And the problem with us is the same as the problem with Jonah. There's no difficulty understanding what God is saying. That's not our problem at all. We know all too plainly what God requires from us. But we've got a problem about doing it. The word of God touches a nerve with us. An area of our life that has been a closed book up till now. There's been no Christian input whatsoever, but suddenly a verse, a reading, a sermon, something from God breaks in personally, powerfully. Something God says, something God requires of us, gets underneath our skin. And there's plain speaking by God to us. And especially when we hear the gospel, we're told it rings in our ears. God says we are to repent and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to trust in him. And sometimes when we hear that message for the first time, it's simply, it's too much. There's got to be another way. There's got to be a way with some contribution from me. And we just won't accept it. So we run as far and we run as fast as we can go. Psalm 139 verses 7 and 8. The refusal of the prophet. But that doesn't change anything. He's only going on a little detour. Because soon the prophet and soon ourselves, we will soon be back facing what we ran away from some time ago. God's word catches up with us, and we're only on a little detour. God was waiting there for him when he got on the boat and set sail for Tarshish. The revelation of God, the refusal of the prophet. What did he do? He ran from the Lord. If you were to look at the life of Jonah, there's suddenly a hive of activity. He's packing up. He's arranging his affairs in order. He's gathering money. He's going around the docks and the pier asking for the best, quickest, best ship to leave the place. And he's not going on a cruise for some other interest. We're told in verse 2 exactly what's happening. It's given to us twice. He's running from the presence of the Lord. It's more sharply put in the Hebrew. He's running from the face of God. The very one who met him and told him what he should be doing. Oh yes, just remember this. Jonah is like ourselves. Jonah knows a lot of the Bible. Jonah knows a lot of theology. Who God is and what God is like. And we're told God is everywhere. He is omnipresent, is the way it's put. You cannot escape him. That's the thrust of Psalm 139. You cannot run away from him. But that didn't stop Jonah from trying. He was determined to try at least, even although his teaching told him it couldn't happen. And that's what sin does. It twists our thinking and it twists our knowledge. And Jonah thought, it's going to be different for me. It's going to be different for me now. As if there were some gap in the teaching that God had given that nobody had ever seen before. There was something special or unique about Jonah that would allow him to do what no one else had ever done. He thought, yes, I can do what no one else has done. I can run from God. It's going to be different for him. But it never was, and it never is. We try to push the demands that God has. We try to fill our lives with other things. We go through all the other different activities. We smother our conscience. We hide what he's saying to us. We're looking for peace. We're looking for quietness. We're trying to run. We never succeed. There were only two cities in the map and in the mind of Jonah. There was the city of Nineveh where God wanted him to go and preach. And there was the city of Tarshish, way over there at the far end of the Mediterranean in the land of Spain. It was the end of the rebel road for Jonah. But if ever he was able to reach it, if ever he was able to get there, he would always have to think, why am I here? What took me here? And he would always be looking over his shoulder. He would always be afraid what's round the corner in that Spanish city, town, or refuge. There is no peace nor rest for him if he were ever to get there. There is no safe place where we can run to get away from God. Which city are we going to? Which city on the map we've got in our mind just now? the path of duty or the track of rebellion, running from the Lord. And so we went on the ship. And what do we do? What do we find happens on the ship? Yes, the revelation of God, the refusal of the prophet, running from the Lord. We find Jonah resting in the ship. You can almost envisage him standing, leaning against the railings round the ship. They've cast off and there's water coming between them and the pier. They're beginning to put distance between them and the land. And as that happens, a deadly calm comes upon Jonah. There's been no problem so far. Everything has worked out well for him. But at what cost? You can almost picture him climbing on board. You can hear the wind filling the sails, the water passing underneath the keel. Yes, he had to pay the money, but he also had to give up spiritual experiences. He's forsaken joy. He's turned his back on peace. He's no longer got the riches and the satisfaction of serving the Lord. Oh yes, you may say he's been successful. People today might say the same. They've been successful. But at what cost? What has been lost to get where he is? And so you find him going below deck and he sleeps. Days of activity, nights of troubling thoughts, at last they're in the past. And that's the time of greatest danger for him. Before this, he was a rebel. But he was a restless rebel. Before this, he was disobedient. But his disobedience caused him concern. But now he was without God. And he was satisfied and content to be so. He was quite prepared to sleep. And nothing caused him trouble or concern. His greatest danger. There is no greater danger that could come on any one of us when we become comfortable in our lifestyle, running against or away from God and living a life that is displeasing to him in sin. As long as sin robs us of our peace, as long as disobedience spoils our nights, as long as we are disturbed and concerned, there is hope even although we are in danger. We've not yet gone to sleep where we are. But the warnings are growing dull. The lights are not as bright. We're beginning to be content and comfortable and accept where we are and what we are. Things aren't getting better. That's what we might think. We might think they're getting better because there's less things to trouble us. But they're in fact only getting worse. Jonah went to sleep in that boat. The way in which he was becoming comfortable where he was. Are we disturbed, concerned about where we are in our lifestyle? Are we disturbed, concerned about what we're doing? We might have been concerned some time past. There might have been a period when God's hand was upon us, disturbing us, convicting us, troubling us. But that's past. And we think, oh good, we've come through it. We're better off now than we were then. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jonah warns us of the danger of sleeping when we're running from God. Getting used to where we are and what we are. So yes, rest in the ship. But what was the next step? The next step was the resolve of God. We are told in verse 4, but the Lord sent a great wind. His life was a fearful mess and he was in great danger. But God had not abandoned him nor left him. We read there the way in which God breaks in, a scene that has been so dark and dismal up to verse 3. When we come to verse 4, but the Lord. God intervened in the life of Jonah. God intervenes in the life of his people, in your life and mine, as he speaks to us. The storm coming. For those people on the boat, it was a fearful concern because it was a threat to their boat and to their lives. They were scared stiff and they were prepared to try anything. They were throwing things overboard. They were making prayers. They were prepared to cast lots to find out who might be responsible for this. Yes, that's one opinion of the storm. They were scared stiff. But there's another way of looking at that storm. And to thank the Lord for the storms that come into your life and mine. Because the storm awakens us from that sleep we've just identified as a great danger. I read a story in one of the commentators. It's a bit dated, but it's because it's dated, it's so effective. There was a farmer going to market. It was one of these open carts. And he was going to market in a cold winter's day. And along the way, as he was going, there was a woman walking carrying a baby. And so he stopped and collected her. And they sat on the bench and they went on their way talking together. But the farmer noticed that the woman was becoming more and more drowsy. And being one from the countryside, he knew then what we call now the dangers of hypothermia. He had to waken her. There was a death imminent if he didn't. And it seemed a cruel thing what he did next. He stopped the cart. He dragged the two of them off the cart into the snow. And then suddenly he grabbed the baby and bounded onto the cart and drove off with the baby in his arms. The mother, she was feeble to begin with, but her pace quickened. And soon she was running after that cart. And later on, they met and the baby was returned to her. A way of wakening her up and protecting her from the danger of hypothermia. It might have looked crazy. It might even be judged to be cruel. But it was effective at the time. The storm that came on these people at sea, and the storm that comes into your life and mine. Crazy. Cruel. Don't understand it. But it may be the way the Lord has of wakening us up spiritually from the danger that's coming upon us. So yes, what's the result of all this as we try to close this morning? He came up on deck. He saw the face of the sailors and he saw the storm at sea. And he realized his disobedience had touched so many people's lives. many others affected by his rebellion against God. He saw it in their faces, and he was cast into the sea. But the Lord provided a storm, and the Lord also provided a fish for his safety. And when you go into chapter 2, you find him coming to his spiritual senses. You find him confessing his sins in prayer, and you find him returning to the path of obedience and the duty the Lord required of him. So that when you come to chapter 3, it says, "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." God spoke to him a second time after all that experience had passed. Complicated, intense and personal as it was. Cruel and crazy in the judgment of some. But spiritual and effective for Jonah. And the same as the Lord perhaps is working with us. Over many a year through different experiences. Things that we don't understand. But perhaps using Jonah's life, we've got a way of understanding it and opening it and unpacking it for ourselves. Nowhere is safe when we try to run from God. Not just the ship. The whole world is too small. There is no nook or cranny. There is nowhere we can crawl into and hope to hide. Jonah didn't succeed, try as he tried, nor shall we. The Lord is speaking to us today, and he's telling us clearly, plainly and simply, he's looking for us to trust and to have faith in his own Son. Perhaps this morning he is speaking to someone, and you're at the beginning of that spiritual journey as Jonah was. We may try to run, and we may try to hide. We may try to get away from God, but it didn't work with Jonah and won't work with us. The Lord was waiting for him wherever his path took him. And the Lord was dealing with him in surprising and in, yes, even dramatic ways, a storm and a big fish. We don't know the scale God will use when he deals with you or with me. But deal with us he will. If we are his. And he will bring us to the point where what he requires from us, we will willingly do. We will obey. We will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God was speaking. Jonah was running. But ultimately, God was waiting, and he was victorious. A key to understand our own book of life. Let us pray. Gracious Lord and God, we bless thy name for the abundant riches of thy word. And for the way in which thou dost speak to us through the lives of others who have gone before us. And so we ask of thee that thou wouldst graciously bless our meditation this morning to our soul. Speak to each one of us as thou dost know us, of the things we need to hear and to lay up in our mind. And we ask, Lord, that thou wouldst give to us that faith and trust, that we might rely upon Jesus Christ for the interest of our soul, for time and eternity. In his name we ask, and for his sake we pray. Amen. We close this morning by singing from Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And at verse 57 to 60. Thou my sure portion art alone, which I did choose, O Lord. I have resolved and said that I would keep thy holy word. Within my whole heart, with my whole heart I did entreat thy face and favour free. According to thy gracious word, be merciful to me. And then thinking of these words as we read and sing, as they apply to Jonah and to ourselves. I thought upon my former ways and did my life well try. And to thy testimonies pure, my feet then turned I. I did not stray nor linger long as those that slothful are, but hastily thy laws to keep, myself I did prepare. Psalm 119, 57 through 60, thou my sure portion art alone. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.